The Archaeological Institute of America sent a letter to the Department of Defense urging it to consider historic sites in Iraq when planning military strategy against Saddam Hussein. Archaeologists and art historians are increasingly concerned over what will become of ancient monuments and artifacts should the U.S. military begin bombing. NPR's Jason DeRose reports they have little hope that much can be done.
6,000 years ago, the place known as Iraq today was Mesopotamia, which rose along the banks of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. McGuire Gibson teaches Mesopotamian archaeology at the University of Chicago.
It's the cradle of civilization. It's the place where it first started. It's the place where we get the first cities, the first writing, the first thoughts about what man's relationship is to God. It's the first sort of ideas about death. It's the first recorded literature that we have.
Gibson says thousands of years of continuous civilization means nearly 100,000 archaeological sites. He and other archaeologists are quick to say their first concern is the loss of human life U.S. military action would bring, but they're also concerned about the loss of human history. Gibson says the 1991 Gulf War literally chipped away at a priceless past. One example is the nearly 4,000-year-old ziggurat, or temple pyramid at Ur, in southern Iraq.
This was struck by at least 400, looked like machine gun shells, taking out big chunks. It would remove, say, 5 or 10 bricks, would be pulverized. And anyway, there are 400 new holes in that ziggurat.
The future of the nearly 2,000-year-old ruin at Ctesiphon, just outside Baghdad, is the main concern of Zainab Bahrani, who teaches at Columbia University. The site includes the remains of a palace with one of the oldest, tallest brick archways in the world. It was indirectly damaged in 1991.
It wasn't targeted. I don't think people would deliberately target antiquities, but there is some kind of a plant nearby. I'm not sure what it is, and that was a legitimate target, and it was being bombed, but it was close enough to the archaeological site that the vault was in fact cracked.
Bahrani says another nearby bombing could cause the arch to fall. But archaeologists aren't concerned solely about Iraq's important monuments. Elizabeth Stone, an archaeologist at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, says we often learn about ancient culture through the most mundane records. Stone points to the cuneiform legal tablets that she translated from Nippur in central Iraq.
One of the tablets that I worked with was actually a court case where a guy had married an heiress. Well, he was accusing her of being a nag. She was accusing him of never having slept with her. The court basically was on her side that this was marriage and it was supposed to be consummated. He wound up saying, "I don't care. You can put me in jail and take all my money. I won't do this." And that's the end of the text. But you get this real sense of these real human beings dealing with complicated issues back then.
Records such as the divorce tablet are made of unbaked mud. The weight of a tank or the shock of a bomb can turn these fragile artifacts to dust. Stone fears that an understanding of daily life from this period would be lost if yet-to-be-discovered sites are destroyed. However, some art historians and archaeologists are more concerned about what might come after a military campaign, when they say social and economic chaos would most likely lead to looting. John Russell at the Massachusetts College of Art cites the palace of the Assyrian ruler Sennacherib at Nineveh in northern Iraq. Prior to the 1991 Gulf War, Russell visited the palace of the king who plotted the siege of Jerusalem.
You could walk through the throne room where he may have given that order to campaign against Jerusalem.
In the palace, Russell photographed 2,700-year-old sculptural reliefs depicting, among other things, religious offerings, laborers, and death.
In 1995 and 96, I started seeing the same sculptures that I had in my photographs being represented as on the art market, and instead of, say, the large slab, maybe 8 by 8 feet square, that I would have photographed, what was on the market was, say, something 1 by 1 feet. That represented a smashed section of one of those slabs.
In other words, priceless artifacts are being broken into pieces, most likely so they can be smuggled out of the country. Russell says looting may do more damage than bombing.
You end up with a pretty object that's completely mute. And it's not like there's another site like that one out there. Every site is unique. Every site represents people like us who were there at one time and from whom we have something to learn. That is, they're part of our story. So really, the destruction of a site, every undocumented object that appears on the market in a museum, in a private collection, represents a piece of us that's gone. It's a sort of bloody bit of a story of a part of our past that we could have known that we never will.
A spokesperson for the Department of Defense says an internal website has been set up to help military planners avoid historic sites. He says the U.S. also plans to help the post-war Iraqi government establish protections for cultural property. But with tens of thousands of archaeological sites throughout Iraq, Boston University archaeologist Paul Zamansky isn't hopeful much can be done to protect this ancient culture.
The Mesopotamians themselves were aware of the impermanence of everything they did. And there's a deep pessimism that runs through the literature of Mesopotamia. And perhaps that's carrying over to the modern day, that everything does seem to turn back into mud.
As the flood survivor Utnapishtim says in the nearly 4,000-year-old Babylonian Epic of Gilgamesh, why cry over fate and nature? How many times must a home be restored? How many wars and how many floods must there be with plague and exile in their wake? The last matter is always veiled from human beings. The length of lives can only be guessed. Jason DeRose, NPR News, Chicago.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.